This is Greg Olson, inviting you to check out my new Blue Wire podcast, TE1, where I interview tight ends throughout the history of the NFL who have helped revolutionize the position. TE1 is presented by the Chevy Silverado. The Silverado is all about grit. It's strong and dependable, exactly like playing tight end. Just like the incredible players we sit down with on the podcast, the Chevy Silverado is in a league of its own. Strong, advanced, and dependable. Download TE1 today, wherever you listen to podcasts.
All right, what's up, babies? I hope someone needed that today. Hope you're all doing well. Welcome back to the Esports Rewind podcast. Hello, Zane.
Hello, Jake. You know, babies is an interesting approach, but I think I kind of prefer that over the, like, psychotic scream almost.
Which is like, look at Big
because that always, like, stresses me out. Like, I hear that, and I'm like, what's going on here?
I just hope someone around the world needed that, but we really do hope you guys are all enjoying your week so far. It continues to be crazy. Zan, hit him with that intro, and let's get rolling. We got some juicy stories to talk about.
It's a big week.
It's another big week.
Yeah. So as always, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Also, if you want to check out the podcast on your phone, on the go, really on your favorite podcast platform of choice, you can also find us as part of the Prediction Esports Talk Show Network right there on the desk. That's PREEDICTION. Right alongside a bunch of other great esports podcasts. So by all means, go check us out. We appreciate our audio listeners. For daily esports news content, you can find us on YouTube at Esports Talk or at esportstalk.com.
All right. And as per usual, ready to roll?
Yeah, that's it.
Let's kick it. And my first topic, Zan, man, oh man, it's a great time to have this podcast as a form of relief for all those thoughts I can't get out during the week.
The ones you can't have on the channel because it was like, it doesn't work.
Because I want to, but we already put out too many videos. But either way, I want to talk about this. That being the game Among Us, obviously has had a huge rise. And yeah, along with Fall Guys, you saw the rise of these niche games take out of nowhere. And with that, though, we're actually seeing Among Us clear up some beef in the esports and gaming scene.
Which is wild.
It's so weird that this game took off out of nowhere after being out for a couple of years, and now everyone and their mom is playing it, and it's bringing back rivalries and actually clearing up those said rivalries. And so my prime two examples both involve Ninja. It was actually this past week, I think a week and a half ago, actually 2 weeks by the time this thing goes live, where it was Ninja and our man Dakota's, otherwise known as DK, from the Fortnite scene, clearing up their beef before playing on stream for hours of Among Us. If you guys don't remember, it was actually very intense beef. I mean, they went...
Oh, yeah, it was...
And it was over the holidays. They went back...
So you know they had time was the problem.
They're both at home enjoying their families for Christmas.
Yeah. Probably... taking dinner out of the oven.
Pan in one hand, phone Twitter in the other, tweeting at Ninja or vice versa. I think they eventually had both blocked each other. There was some naughty words tossed out. DK at one point was like, I'm going to expose you. And that perked my ears up. Nothing ever happened. And now months and months later, they're playing Among Us. They have cleared the air. And it was actually one of the most enjoyable streams ever. They were eventually two imposters. Had like one of the best and fastest games I've seen in some time.
Yeah.
It's incredible to see over a kid's game, they're getting along. I do continue. I do apologize for keeping it
by
rolling.
All means. Go for it.
But it was also Ninja and XQC. Just a couple nights back at the point of us recording this, they didn't really touch on anything. They didn't really talk about it, but it was so entertaining to have these two in the same game and being very entertaining together. It really is really fun to watch these streams. But, you know, just months ago, we were talking about that. Ninja's wife, XQC.
You know what, Loki? I think Ninja saw which way the tides were going, right?
Yeah.
And he realized, you know what? I gotta fix these bridges. Whether he came forward or Dakota's came forward, I think it's probably the best for, you know, both parties, because I think they're pretty entertaining together. I agree.
Yes.
So,
and they're also growing, slowly growing to look alike. Ninja and XQC. Like the same quarantine hair.
I thought you were talking about Dakota's for a second. I was so confused. What?
XQC and Ninja, because Ninja's hair dye is finally fading out. But either way, it's great to see these guys, if not, you know, totally settling the beef, clearing the air a little bit, and they can still game together despite their past. So Among Us is really bridging the gap.
All right, Jake, we're going to take a step off the beaten path and talk about some news in the gaming scene that nobody's thinking about in terms of esports implications that I'm very excited about.
Okay, this is typically what you do here on the podcast, so I'm not surprised by this. Hit me with it.
So I don't know if you saw, but the prices for the Xbox, the next generation of Xboxes, were announced earlier this week.
And nice prices, right?
Very, very nice prices. Very interesting prices. With the low-end version of the Xbox, the next-gen version, I believe it's the Xbox Series S. That's S like Steve.
It's like what iPhones do.
You know? But way more confusing, though, because it's Xbox Series X like Zan, S like Steven, and then they also have the Xbox One S And then they have like a bunch of other SKUs over the years. And my whole thing has always been like, I feel so bad for that mom walking into GameStop trying to buy their kid a console.
Her kid is also named Steven. So she's like, what? Do I get him the XSP or one? Like,
is that custom? What does that mean? Dude,
you know some mom is going to come home this holiday with the wrong Xbox.
They're going to come home with three Xboxes. Yeah. They panic. They freak out. Like, I don't know what's going on.
Does he need all three? Like,
do you put them together? Is this like a Gundam situation?
Either way, with these prices coming out, obviously very well timed before PS prices come out.
Yeah, I think PS was waiting for Xbox so they could come in behind and undercut a little bit.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of what they did with the PS4. They waited until like after Xbox announced and they came like $50 cheaper, I think it was, and they were like, ooh, let's go.
But anyway, what do you think about the implications of all these prices coming out?
Anyway, it's not so much those prices as is this other pricing plan they have available. I think it's called Xbox All Access. Xbox All Access is what it's named. And basically, it's a process by which you get a brand new next generation Xbox, 24 months of Game Pass, which is the service for getting free like AAA games, and you only pay $25 a month. No upfront $300 fee. $25 a month.
As in, the Xbox comes with?
Yeah, with the Game Pass.
Okay.
Which gives you all like hundreds of games.
So
at this
for
point.
2 years, you're paying $25 a month?
As opposed to shelling out that huge.
But do you have to pay upfront for the Xbox?
No, it's just the $25. So it's just $25. It's like a phone plan.
I was going to say, this sounds like the new iPhone plans that have come out over the past year or so. Wow. Mm. What happens at the end of 2 years?
I don't know.
Is the Xbox yours?
I think it is.
Or you take it back to GameStop.
Maybe it's like an upgrade process, like you do like with your iPhone, you know, where you get the new model of it.
Oh, I guess you're right. Yeah. Dumb me. Sorry, I haven't had a console in long. Yes, once 2 years is up, I mean.
Yeah, they're going to have a new version now or something.
But I wonder for those who don't want to move on, they want to stick it out for it and ride it as long as possible. I have an iPhone 7 still. That is really interesting. And I actually, off the top of the dome, I like the idea.
Yeah, definitely.
Honestly, when it comes to my phone, though, I haven't liked the idea because, but I don't know. I got to look into the...
Yeah, I think it balances out really well where consoles are always expensive.
Yeah.
You know, let's be real here. And this is a year where a lot of people probably aren't in the best financial situation with everything going on in the world. Everybody's trying to save money. And so just having this easy entry point, this easily accessible way for people to get into the Xbox ecosystem seems huge to me because I think for years... PS5 is kind of, or not PS, but you know, Sony overall has kind of dominated a large chunk of the esports and gaming space. Mm-hmm. But now with the new PS5 projected to be somewhere between $399 to $499, depending on the digital or physical versions of that, imagine the prospect of getting Halo Infinite for $25 a month.
And at face value, like, this just makes sense. I remember, and again, I love my parents to death. I think we were pretty well off as kids. I was very lucky. But I always remember when a new console came out, it was a bit hesitant. Like, mom was not always willing to drop the $300-$400 back in the day, which I'm surprised prices have stayed around the same area to that extent. It was always a hesitation to upfront, like you said, that much money just for, you know, little Jake to have a box.
Right, yeah.
So I love this idea. I really do, because I think it's going to draw in a larger crowd, and there's going to be a lot of parents out there who think, okay, for $25 a month, it's not going to reach that upfront payment point until the second year or so that I would be paying upfront anyway. So,
which is so much more doable
for
a lot of people. And I think it's worth noting that a large part of the reason of the success for a lot of esports games is how cheap it is to get involved. You know, like the whole reason PUBG Mobile took over India is because it's free and it ran pretty like lean on phones. You know, Fortnite was a huge power drain, so you needed a nice phone to play it. PUBG, much less so. So everybody could kind of get on board.
And to jump off that, you take away entry. We're seeing all these games go free to play. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows the upfront, the upcoming model, I would say, for games at least, is free to play, and they pay in the game instead of paying to play.
Right, yeah.
So I like this model. We'll see what it does. The Xbox PS4 battle obviously going to be waging forever.
Yeah, basically.
We'll see how PS4 responds to this very unique model coming up for Xbox.
Interesting times.
Very wild times. And quickly before our next topic, guys, a quick word from this week's sponsors. Even though sports had a break, your business did not. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need, you can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire, or 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month. Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through September 30th. And guys and gals, the wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you get on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get on their season opening bonuses today and start wagering off on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's Blue Wire, all one word, Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. And now, let's get back to the podcast. And this next story, Zane, man, it really does baffle me the things that, God, this is just gaming so whack. We've talked about Doc and his band a lot on this channel. I'm sure you guys are aware. But this past week, we saw something where, you know, people got big balls. Now, I don't think I'm one of those people. People risking potentially being banned on Twitch just to play with the Doc. Mm-hmm. We've actually had this instance in the past with the Vicstar Warzone tournament. Typically when this did happen, when Doc was in lobbies with these Twitch streamers, they would mute him. He was not talking on the Twitch platform. Mm-hmm. So yes, we have seen Doc in the lobby of people streaming on Twitch. He has never spoken on those said streams. And then within the same week, we have three streamers just having the Doc on, two of which were inside the Vicstars Warzone event, not muting the Doc, having full-on conversations, full-on arguments. And there's a lot of it's tough to analyze the TOS when it comes for Twitch terms of services. It's very subjective. It's very different. I can tell you guys in the past, if this did happen, the Twitch streamers would be banned. I see so many people out there saying, show me the rule. I can show you the cases where if this happened, if you're a banned Twitch streamer talking in a Twitch stream, that streamer will be banned.
Yeah, we've seen it time and time again.
Yes. Now, Twitch can be subjective. They treat different streamers differently. No one's trying to argue that. It is whack to me that all within the same week, we have three people, the first of which people kind of oversaw this thanks to a viewer who sent me this on Instagram DMs, Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, yeah.
Played a game of NFL or Madden with the Doc.
To be fair, that's Snoop Dogg. I feel like he almost...
The great point is Twitch is not going to ban Snoop Dogg.
No, yeah, because let's be real. Snoop didn't know. Why would Snoop
know that? I agree. Yeah. That's like there's no chance Snoop knew, oh, this isn't allowed.
Yeah.
And I bet Doc probably didn't know, like, am I on your stream right now? Mm-hmm. It was a single 30-minute stream for one Madden game. The next day, Doc drops the Snoop and Doc collab where they played that game. So Snoop was just casually chilling on Twitch stream, playing music, and you hear Doc talking to him on his stream. Then the next day, of course, we have Nadeshot, who does not mute Dr. Disrespect. Following lobby, Doc goes and plays with Crim6, also not muting. So it's amazing to see, and as of us recording, they have not been banned. Like, my question to you is, what does this mean? We have people seeing this, and Twitch is doing nothing. I mean, Crim6 had full-on arguments, great, funny moments with Doc.
Definitely.
On Twitch.
Hopefully, this means Twitch is like looking at this policy and being like, maybe it's not quite functional in the modern age. I think there's solid logic to where they're going with this rule, I think.
Yes.
They want to help make sure that streamers can't just sidestep their ban by showing up on somebody else's stream.
Yep.
That makes sense. Pardon me.
It makes complete... I think a lot of people... are wondering though why that would be so bad. If you're banned on Twitch and all of a sudden you can still stream on other people's Twitch streams and benefit from a platform that you've been banned from, or try and promote your competition, I think those are the two angles that Twitch is trying to stop with this rule.
Right,
it's a very weird rule though, right?
Yeah.
The fact that someone out there can be banned because someone else talked in their stream as adults, that just seems stupid.
Yeah, I think there needs to be like more finesse with this rule.
Yeah.
Maybe something like, okay, why was this person banned? In what context are they streaming? Are they just...
If only Twitch explained this stuff.
Yeah, that would really solve all the issues.
I think I'm really wondering, though, what does this mean for the... Like, are other people going to take the risk? Like, what happens?
I think it's rare that people are going to take the risk. I think this is like a kind of a...
Is this a one-off because it's a tournament and you almost have to be in the same lobby? Like, at what point do they say, all right, we're going to ban that? Like, or do the tides turn on Twitch if they do ban someone for playing with Doc? I just don't know where this goes from here.
I think Twitch is definitely going to get backlash. if they ban these people?
Yes.
I think so. Absolutely. I think they'll also get backlash if they don't and say nothing.
It is unfair.
Yeah, exactly.
I will, but no one's going to care about it being unfair. But there have been several Fortnite players who were banned for this. And now we have Crimsix and Snoop and Nadeshot getting away with it. I will say that's unfair.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they deserve to be banned, guys. I'm just saying it's weird how Twitch works.
Yeah, I think they could sidestep any potential problems by just meeting us halfway. Don't ban them. Come out, make a statement, say, hey, we're looking at this situation. We're reviewing the rules.
But they can't because they can't speak on DOC for some reason.
Like they don't have to speak on DOC at all. Keep it general. Just say, hey, we know DOC is banned. And our general policy is that if you're banned, you cannot stream with anybody else on our platform. In this kind of circumstance, we're realizing this policy may not be most effective going forward. So we're looking at this situation, we're reviewing it, we're going to consider it, and come back with a decision.
That seems reasonable. If only Twitch would do that.
If only they would.
Either way, it's been a crazy past week for Twitch and the doc. We will see what happens in the future with this one.
All right, Jake, this is kind of a general talking point that I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on, because I think it's one of the most fascinating aspects of the esports industry. This one being brought to light once again by Cecilia D'Anastasio.
That's a name, man.
I apologize if I'm mispronouncing that. I'm really bad at names. I tried. Wrote a pretty good article over on Wired about how esports pro players have dream jobs, but developers have all the power. And it's a very, very reasonable point, because unlike traditional sports, esports have owners. You know, nobody owns football, soccer, tennis as concepts and can do whatever they want with them carte blanche. However, in this circumstance, for Call of Duty, it's Activision Blizzard's word on what goes and what doesn't, you know, same with Riot and League of Legends. So it's a weird situation, because these companies can make their own arbitrary decisions. They can do stuff like, you know, put in patches right before an event.
Yep.
They can sign a partnerships with organizations like NEOM that people very strongly disagree with, without any oversight or anybody really being able to firmly say, no, you can't.
They can announce a partnership with Marvel, and all of a sudden your in-game characters are all superheroes.
Yeah, yeah. You don't know what's happening.
Who knows?
Yeah. The next Call of Duty could be garbage, but Call of Duty League teams are still going to have to play on it if they want to compete in the league.
Yes.
It's a weird situation across the board. One where I think a lot of people would agree seems more like publishers and developers are more motivated by marketing their games instead of, you know, maintaining the health of their esports scene. Like the esports scene is used as a marketing engine for their base game.
Did this involve Clayster at all?
Yeah, yeah. I linked this in chat. Yeah.
Yes,
yeah,
this is a great read. Yeah. If you guys have not seen this, where Clayster literally just calls, you know, Call of Duty esports side will always be a marketing tool for the actual game.
Yeah, I think, actually, I think I grabbed that quote, because it was, like you said, it was a great quote. Yeah, Clayster, the quote was, if they truly cared about competitive Call of Duty and it being a competitive esport, a lot of things would have been done differently.
Yep.
Call of Duty esports will always and forever be a marketing tool for Activision and for Call of Duty, which I think is very true.
This goes for a lot of games. I don't think it goes for like League or CSGO, but this goes for a lot of games.
Yeah, yeah, in a much lesser extent, because that's like, yeah, those games are so like competitive focus at this point.
I mean, when you see the success of a game like Fortnite or a Call of Duty franchise, it almost is certain that they will attune to the casual audience and the players of the game instead of the pro players.
Right, right.
In my opinion, I can't necessarily blame them for that. But if you're a COD pro like Clayster, obviously this past year sucked, and for obvious reasons. I mean, even further than that, if you want to dive into it, they're making changes to Warzone that Call of Duty League players have to play in the main game.
Yeah, which is such a weird. Why do it that?
It's a mind blowing time to be alive.
Yeah.
Again,
yeah.
A great article and a great read, and I think it makes so many great points. But To an extent, I think it's also why gaming and esports has such a future, because these games will continue to expand and develop and change. Meanwhile, football is not going to change, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think Clayster even referenced that
in
one of his quotes, where he was like, yeah, I think he said something along the lines of the fact that the games can change, keeping them like fresh and exciting.
It's amazing.
Which I agree. I think game patches are dope in like the way that you can realize something didn't work at the beginning of the year. Midway through, we're going to change it up a little bit, keep it fresh.
Yeah.
I think that's fantastic when done well. It's just we have so many clear examples of like, why are you doing it in this exact way that almost seems targeted to mess with the esports scene?
Yeah, and I think we'll have to get there in the next few years or coming years. But clearly, if you are, you know, an Activision, you see, all right, we're making billions doing what we're doing. Like, we don't necessarily have to care about esports, and I think that's why we see it.
Right,
and
I agree.
I don't know if it's ever going to reach a point where the esports scene and their problems impact the sales enough where they're like, let's change it up. So I think we'll get there eventually, but you know, with the bad comes the good, and I think that's why this we do differ so much from sports. NFL or whatever traditional sport might change tiny rules here and there, right? Might change an overtime rule, but they're not ever going to change as much as esports does.
Right, of course not. You're not going to have a new football on the field.
You're not going to have a new football character.
Yeah.
like, oh God.
Everybody got super jerseys now.
Everyone's got abilities. Like, it's different. It's hard to compare in that facet, but I feel the most for Fortnite and Call of Duty pros.
I've been thinking about this a lot recently, because even as an esports viewer, it's getting, I just lose so much of that motivation, that energy to tune into esports when I know the pros aren't too happy with it.
Yeah,
all these changes are weird. Clearly the people putting on the event don't care about it in the way that, like, you know, the rest of us obviously do.
Yeah.
So, you know, it sucks. And I agree. I don't think we'll see any super negative backlash from, like, especially the casual side anytime soon. But you got to imagine at some point people are going to be like, why are we pouring $50 million into a franchise league spot with the team?
When they only care about the game, the casual player.
Yeah,
yes.
They're going to screw you over time and time again to make their buck.
Let's check back in 10 years. We'll see where we are.
Yeah, true, true.
And very lastly for this podcast, guys, also a quick shout. It's a week pre-recorded. We are probably breaking 300,000 subscribers at this point in time.
Probably by tonight.
Pretty freaking crazy. Why you always got to say stuff like that, man?
I'm usually right.
Either way, a quick thank you to all of you guys. Yeah. But a quick relevant point, what we talk about a lot here, esports and gaming here at Esports Talk. And this past week, we also had Cloud9 doing a groundbreaking thing. We can keep this short because I'm super curious what you guys think about this. They are now revealing the pro player salaries for their Counter-Strike roster, what could be a gigantic change for the entire esports and gaming world. Mm-hmm. The first contract they did reveal was former Vitality member Alex, their new in-game leader and captain for their Counter-Strike squad. 3 years, a whopping $1.65 million. They revealed his salary, or what they actually paid for a three-year contract, which included a buyout. The first we ever see of this, besides, of course, League of Legends has public contracts, but this could change everything in esports.
And I definitely hope it does, because we've heard this conversation happening for quite a while with high-ranking members of organizations, pro players. I mean, we've seen attempts at this before that haven't worked out too well. And I think the general consensus is that this can only be good for the health of the industry overall. And so more transparency on this front is just excellent to see.
It scares me because I'm me and I hate new things and I hate change. As per usual, I'm a very habitual man. I like things of habit and pattern. But if it's going to benefit the players in the long run, I think that they're probably higher tier people in organizations that know that stuff need to talk about it and need to come out and explain their side of things, because as casuals, I mean, yes, we are very into the gaming scene. But to actually know what they're thinking about revealing this stuff, from what we have seen, Henry G, the new GM of Cloud9, has said this benefits the players, so I take his word for it. But I want to know the other esports orgs that don't want to come out with it, because certainly not everyone's going to agree on this.
Right, of course not.
So I want to know both sides. I want to know why you want to come out with this as a player, why you don't as a player, because I'm sure some players don't, and then vice versa, as an organization, why you do or don't want this. Come out, explain it to us, show all the stringents and talking points. But it's going to be crazy, because I think the most common thing I saw is, if esports or professional video games want to be like sports, this is a great step forward.
And they definitely do. I think we are seeing that time and time again, that they desperately want to be like traditional sports, even though I kind of don't think they should be. I think we're on the same page with that. And the weird thing here is that I've been learning more about how salary sharing like this works just in life, generally speaking, because the same conversation has happened with traditional sports, with just working in different industries overall, this transparency thing. And really and truly, the conversation that I'm seeing time and time again is that this is beneficial for employees, for players, for creators, stuff like that. Not great for the people who are holding the money bags, because it puts them in an awkward position to have to do more explaining and potentially offer people more, give them closer to what they're worth. Which is why I kind of don't think we'll see any arguments from org saying this is why we don't want to do it, because I don't know if there's really a ton of really excellent arguments to be made there, you know, especially with the way things have been in the scene so far.
I don't know. There's a lot to talk about, because another thought that crossed my mind is, like, what if you're a player and you know you're being overpaid and you put your salary out there to everyone to judge? Like, what? Let's say some player is playing for Team Liquid or Fnatic. They put their salary out there of 400,000, and people are like, dude, you won two games last split, or last, you know, or you didn't make it to the major, whatever game it is. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden people ridicule that player for being overpaid. I don't know. There's a lot to talk about.
I think you just got to, that's part of being an adult.
Roll with punches.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of something you got to embrace. Hey, if your performance wasn't great and your salary isn't looking like it's matching that, then I think it's fair for people to criticize that. I guess
that's what sports. Yeah. Sports. Yeah. Frick. Yeah. There's a lot that, we'll reveal our salaries next.
Well, not really up to us, unfortunately. I saw a lot of people asking. It's like, I personally don't mind talking about it.
I don't think I would either. I think people would have a lot more respect for us.
Yeah. I just know we can't. Sorry. It's not our place.
Check my Twitter. Let's see what happens. I'm kidding.
Tune in at 1 a.m. on a Saturday morning.
After 4.5 seltzers.
Yeah, right.
As per usual, guys, we hope you all enjoy the Esports Rewind podcast. Same time every single week. Thanks to our audio listeners. Thanks to our YouTube listeners. You guys are gorgeous babies. Hope you needed that. Zan, hit with that fat outro.
Yeah. You know, you covered all the broad strokes. So I appreciate you doing that. But, you know, once again, guys, thank you for tuning in. It really does mean the world to us that you guys are here supporting us. Thanks again for helping us reach 300K. That's a huge, huge milestone for us. I mean, my guy, we were not at 100K just that many. Like,
6 months ago?
Yeah, that was
right around there 6 months ago.
Yeah, I think it was like April when we hit that. Yeah. Yeah, somewhere around there. Yeah, but you know, thank you for all the support. Really and truly, it means the world. Aside from that, though, by all means, check us out as part of the Prediction Esports Talk Show Network on iTunes, Spotify, anywhere else you'd like to enjoy your podcast. Shout out to our audio listeners supporting us that way as well. We appreciate you. We love you. Check us out on YouTube as well at Esports Talk for tons of daily esports news content, almost more than you can watch.
Sorry.
Also, you know, esportstalk.com covers a lot of the stuff that we don't get to touch on the channel because, you know, it's different audiences. You can always reach out to us in the comments. Also on Twitter at @talk_esports, on Instagram at @esports_talk. We read each and every single message, even if we don't have time to respond to them all, unfortunately, because we get like a ton, and we appreciate every single one of them, really and truly. Jake, you have anything else you'd like to tell the people?
Nah, we good, homies. Take care of yourselves. All right. We'll see you back here next week. Stay tuned.
Sounds good.